But good stories. Seems like everybody who is involved in these cell groups are having a really good time and getting to know people. They thought they knew them. Now they're finding out they didn't know them. Apparently, Carl shares a little too much in their cell group. None of that surprises me. If you go to Sally's, you may play the kazoo. So, I told him when we were first meeting and we're going through and how, and just so you know, if you don't know, we have cell groups. And if you want to be a part of these cell groups, see me or see Sally, see Michelle, and we will get you plugged into a cell group. They're going to do nothing but good for you. But I told them, I said, as much as I want this to be a spiritual thing, let's not be so spiritual that we forget to connect with people. Let's have some fun. You know, let's make this thing lighthearted, you know, have a good time with everybody, get to know, more and more people, and learn something in the process. So if you're thinking that you're going to come to a cell group and Michelle's just going to walk up and lay hands on you and wait for you to fall down, that's not what it's designed to be. You may fall down because you are laughing at one of the people in the cell group, but you don't have to worry about anybody calling you out. You end up sharing because you want to share, not because you're pressured into it. And that's what's so good about it. People who are not necessarily people who talk a whole lot or quiet in nature, they actually end up getting close with people, and they end up trusting and sharing some of the things that's going on in their life. And it's nothing but a really great thing. So I encourage you strongly to get involved in one of these cell groups. This morning I want to talk to you one more time about dreaming. The last couple times that I've spoken, I've talked to you guys about dreaming and dreaming big. The biggest thing that I see in the church for years, I've been in church my whole life, and the one thing that's always bothered me about church people is they don't dream. They don't dream big. They will tell people, well, the Bible says if we just lay hands on you, God's going to heal you. But then whenever they're the ones that are sick, they won't believe for their own healing. It just doesn't make sense to me. They'll tell people, they will quote it where the Bible says that he will take care of all of your needs. But yet, they don't believe that God can take care of them. So, I don't understand it. And the reason why I think so many times is because they don't think that they're good enough for what God has in store for them. And I want to challenge you guys to dream big. Dream big. Don't allow the negative people in your life to win. Dream big. Dream big. There's nothing wrong with it. And people will come up and they will say this, well, when you dream that big, you sound crazy. No, when you dream that big, you know the only way that it can happen is if because God steps in and does it. Whenever people have big dreams and I see their actions with their big dreams, I know they have big faith. I don't want somebody who does not dream. Whenever I had these ladies come in for the cell group and we were sitting there talking, I said, if you do not dream for your cell group to multiply, I can't use you. If you don't dream for the people that come to your cell group, all of them to be saved and for their families to be saved, I can't use you. See, here's the problem. Jesus is coming back really soon, and I don't have time for negative Nellies. I want people who are positive and who are going to run after things and dream big. I want big dreamers. So this morning I want to talk to you about your faith and your dream. Hebrews 11:1 says this. We've heard this scripture many times. Says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I want to focus on that first word, if we could, on now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, not in a few minutes, but now. Now faith. We don't have to wait for the faith to build up. Have you ever heard, well, I got to get prayed up first. How many of you have ever heard that phrase? Let me get prayed up first. It doesn't make any sense to me. The Bible says now faith. Not wait, not in a minute, not tomorrow, but now. Faith is a propelling dream. It's the belief which causes us to live in a particular, almost driven way. Some people get jealous when they see somebody who is, and I'm only using money in this, but there's so many ways, okay? So don't think of whenever I say dream is getting rich, okay? Because that's not what we're necessarily talking about. But we'll see people who are so jealous of people who have money, okay? But we get jealous, but yet we don't want to put the same work in that they put in to achieve it. Bill Belichick, he's the coach of the New England Patriots, and he's considered to be the greatest coach in NFL history. New England has won 4 Super Bowls, I think. They have been to 6 or 7 of them now, as him as the head coach. So, but you can either be jealous of him, or you could put the same work in that he does. He's given up a lot of things. They did a behind-the-scenes story I was watching one time when they were talking about him. He's given up a lot of things. He gave up his family to achieve this goal. I mean, his wife left him. Kids don't have a whole lot to do with him because he was so driven on this one goal. So there are things that get involved with your dream. Buzz Aldrin said this after one of the space shuttles blew up, and it didn't make it home. He said this, the biggest tragedy would be not to ever fly again. And we must show that STS number 107, that their sacrifice is not in vain. And in early 1960, JFK challenged a nation that by the end of the decade, the U.S. would indeed put a man on the moon. And mockers and disclaimers didn't believe it could ever happen, but it did, because some dared to dream. Helen Keller said, the only truly happy people are the people who have found a cause bigger than themselves to live for. And I add, even to die for. Ilan Rimon, an Israeli pilot, a war hero. He was the son of a prison camp survivor, carried with him a picture drawn nearly 60 years ago by a 10-year-old boy who one night looked out of the despicable, deplorable bunkhouse of Auschwitz prison concentration camp and began to draw with his pencil and a piece of paper the earth from the viewpoint of the moon. He was dreaming in troughs of death, shaved head, hard labor, cruelty, and hatred. Yet he was dreaming, and years later was the eyes of the little dreamer. He found and gave himself his life for a cause that was greater than himself. Truly happy people are people who find a cause, who dare to dream and dream big. And they dream so big, selfish pleasures and pursuits. The day calls for a difference. That's what today is. Are you willing to be a difference? We are coming up. We have to laugh about it, because if you don't laugh about it, it grieves your heart. But let's face it, these two people that we have running for president, neither one of us, they don't really excite anybody. I mean, everybody that I talk to just kind of like, well, I'm voting for this one because of my other option. Okay? I could tell you who I'm going to vote for if you want to talk. I'll tell you afterwards. I'll tell you. I'll tell you why. But I can honestly say they don't excite me. I just keep on saying, I put my hope and trust in you, Lord. That's all I can do. But there is a clarion call to the church for courageous living. Only those with courage can make a real difference. What does courageous living look like? Philippians 1 through 11 says this in chapter 11. If there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of the mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider in robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. To God be the glory to the Father. I tell you what, if that right there does not make you happy, if that right there doesn't make you want to dream, we have an old saying, your wood is wet. You can't be caught on fire. Selfless service is this: willing to surrender of fame, liberty, to serve one another in love. The highest calling is the call of God. The biggest dream is the God who planted the dream in each one of us. But to possess it, you must be courageous. Courageous enough to care. Courageous enough to turn a deaf ear to the mockers or the siren song of those who call us to an easier path. There are people that are sitting in churches today, and it's sad to say, that the pastors are looking at their people and telling them to be comfortable. I'm not telling you to be comfortable this morning. The last thing that God ever called his people to be was comfortable. The devil is not worried about people who are comfortable. And the one thing, the reason why this nation is in the state that it's in is because we are in the state of apathy. It's, I don't care. As long as they leave me alone, I just don't care. As long as they leave me alone, I just don't care. They're apathetic about everything. Oh, whatever. Every time I hear that word, whatever, it just burns me. I don't have a whatever personality. I'm not as aggressive as that I used to be. I used to be really aggressive. I'm not as bad. I've learned that I have less headaches whenever I'm not aggressive. But it's not in my nature to be, whatever will be, will be. I don't like that. I don't want that. If you look at my upbringing, my last name's Wilbur. It does not bring any esteem to anything. It brings a lot of jokes, okay? I grew up walking down the hallway and people always going, "Hey, Wilbur." Okay? Or, "Oink, oink, 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 oink." I hated Charlotte's Web. Hated. And every, you know, it was second, third grade, we had to read the story, Charlotte's Web. Oh, I hated it. Then they came out with the movie. Oh, I hated that movie. Absolutely hated it. You know? And I told Anthony one time, I said, "Dude, I hate to break it to you, but your last name's Wilbur." He goes, "So?" I'm like, "Oh, you're too young then." So, unfortunately, you didn't have to live with Mr. Ed. So, it's not a big deal to you. But you have to be courageous enough to be blind to the temptress of shallow living and what seems to be the greener pastures. There's always an easy way out. That's what people are always looking for, is the easy way out of things. You know, Jesus, whenever he was praying, he was 100% God, but he was 100% man. And the 100% man said this: "Lord, if there's any way that this cup could pass, but," he finished it by saying, "but not my will, but yours." This is the way we pray when we're looking for greener pastures or the easy way out. Get me out of this. I don't want it. Take me out of it. Detour me around the problems. But see, God's trying to reveal something in us when we go through it. How many of you have ever got through something and it made you so happy at the end of it, and you learned something about yourself and you did not know you had it in you? And then there's been times when you've gone to do something and you got done with it and there was no issues, no problems. And you know what? Didn't think anything of it, did you? "Well, I didn't have no issues. I kind of arrived with that." And you moved on along your day and didn't think anything more about it. I've said it before. The pastor have said it. I'm going to tell you guys again. In this place, we give you the right to make mistakes. Because I'm going to make plenty of them. I promise you. I'm going to make plenty of them. I'm going to put you on warning. I'm going to mess up. At some point in time, I'm going to make somebody mad. It's not my intentions. But I will. It's who I am. But see, we are so afraid of making mistakes, we won't try anything. I think that's the reason why we have so many people in the church that just, they're just wanting to get through the week. Just get me through the week, God. But they don't want no achievement through the week. I want to be pushed. I want to be tried. I want to gain. I don't want to sit stagnant. We have too many people that's wanting to live on a plateau. I have my own business. You know what? It tanked. Did okay. But it wasn't what I hoped it would be. The first time I was a youth pastor, I ain't trying to brag, but dude, I kicked butt. It grew. I got a big old head. Thought I knew what I was doing.
it quickly got punctured. When the second time I became a youth pastor, and it flopped. Because this was my exact words to the pastor. I did it once, I'll do it again. Yeah, I did it again, all right. He said, it was my dad, and he looked at me and he said, well, Brandon, we only got 8 kids. I'm like, no problem. I started with 8 before. I'll start with 8 again. How many you want? I'll get them here. Guess what? That's right. I took all 8 of them right out of the church, scared them all. Problem's gone. And no, got myself out of that job. You have to be courageous enough to die out to your own way and just say, it's thy will be done, Father. You have to be courageous enough to understand dead men own no kingdoms. This church, this dream is his dream. This is his church, and I am his servant. What's the difference between dream achievers and those who only fantasize for their dreams? Action. That's the only difference. I'm not going to read Hebrews 11 all through, but I want to go through some of the people throughout the Bible who what I would call in the hall of faith. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Deborah. They are unknown heroes of the faith that were men and women of action. And they waxed valiant in the fight. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I want you to be specific. I want you to write this down if you need to. Answer you this question. What is my dream? And ask yourself this. Are you willing to live in a way that will set you up for that dream to come to pass? Are you willing to live in a way that you're going to set that dream up to pass? He's not in here. He just walked out. Steve's an electrician. Okay, has his own business. Now, Steve could say, I'm an electrician, and that he does not get up and go to work at all. Doesn't do anything. People, what do you do, Steve? Oh, I'm an electrician. Oh, how long you been doing it? I haven't even studied it yet. But one day I'm going to have my own business, and I'm going to be an electrician. I'm going to have my own business, and I'm going to... Well, that's an awesome dream. What are you doing to make that dream come true? I'm waiting for God to bring it to me. That doesn't make any sense. Or, how does this make sense? Steve, we're just talking about you, buddy. Glad to see you. So, he could simply say, well, I'm an electrician. Well, got your contractor's license? No. You got your own tools? Oh, Lord, no. Well, you work for somebody right now? Oh, no, I'm not doing any of that. What are you doing to make your dream come true? I'm praying. That doesn't make any sense, right? I'm going to be a doctor one day. Really? Well, are you going to college? No, I'm just hoping that God gives me the degree. But that's how we think in faith. Well, if I just dream for it, it'll happen for me. True faith is action. You have to be willing to put your mouth, your feet where your mouth are. Put your feet to work. I, I'm hoping one day that I can be a millionaire. Good. What are you doing to achieve that? Oh, I'm sitting at home. I'm sitting at home praying. Are you investing your money? No. I'm not investing my money at all. I'm just believing that God's just going to send it to me. Come on. Has anybody heard people talk like this? Or here's one that we see all over the church. Ready? I'm believing that God's going to heal me. I'm believing for that too. What are you doing to see that God can heal you? Nothing. I'm just believing. Well, the first thing you might want to do is put away the ice cream. I'm believing God's going to heal my cholesterol. I can believe God's going to heal your diabetes and your cholesterol too. But let me tell you something. You have to go and put away the snack foods too. I'm talking to myself. Yesterday, on our way here, we stopped at Wendy's. On our way here, and some of you didn't like me whenever I showed up. That's okay. Because I was hungry. And on our way here, Kayla was eating some of the fries. And the kids in the back were like, hey, stay out of our fries. And she goes, it's your dad's fries, not yours anyways. And Anthony's exact words were, well, he can afford to lose the calories. He walked the rest of the way here. But it's so true. Oh, I'm meddling, I know, Lord. God, I'm believing that you're going to heal my cancer or my emphysema. If I got a medal on me, I'm going to medal on you. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. You know, I hate technology. He thinks I love it. I hate it. It's just one of those things. It's one of those things that I've just learned I'm trying to accept. So this morning, I got my tablet, which is a whole lot bigger than this thing. Okay? My message won't load. Sorry, not available. So here I am on my phone with my message. Oh. But what is your dream and what are you doing to live for it? See, people think that some people are just lucky. How many of you ever been around people who just looks like they are lucky? This one guy I know, he bought this property just outside of Massillon. He's got loads of money, okay? Jesus save him so he can start tithing here. Loads and loads of money, okay? And he goes and buys this property outside of Massillon. And to look at the property, it was a brick. They used to make bricks there. To look at the property, there was no reason to spend that kind of money. But he goes, buys this property, starts removing these buildings because all he does is get rid of all the buildings, scraps it all out, makes profit at the end of it, and then he sells it, sells the land. Doesn't do anything except scrap the property. Doesn't make any sense to me, but he does. He makes buku bucks. So he goes and buys this property outside of Massillon, okay? They start removing these buildings. Here, there is basements underneath these buildings that nobody knew about. There was 100 generators, those great big power supplies that you see up on the poles, 100 of them sitting down in these basements. You know how much money he got for each one of them great big power supplies that were sitting down there?
Full of copper.
They were stacked full of copper inside of these things. He was, for what he got back, just for the copper alone that was in the building, paid for the property. And I look at the guy and go, man, that dude's lucky. But here's the thing, is luck is the intersection which preparation and opportunity meet. Some of us don't prepare ourselves to be lucky. We go in defeated. He had bought another building just outside of Massillon, and it had a couple buildings on there. And he was sending this guy through to, I was going to buy some of the stuff that was in the building. And the guy's like, hey, what are you going to do with these bricks? He goes, destroy them? He goes, I'll give you $5 a piece for each one of these bricks. There was 150,000 one of those bricks in there. What? Him and I need to be good friends. See, the enemy, though, wants to steal your dream. Excuses are often given, but they are nonsense. Well, I'm too old. Caleb was 85, and he was still dreaming, still claiming, still accomplishing. Too far gone. I've invested in the wrong dreams already. Nonsense. If you're not willing to make mistakes, you're never going to achieve anything in life. And that's spiritual. That's physical. That's financial. You have to be willing to dare. You have to be willing to dream. Take risks. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. If you're saying, I don't know if I can do it, guess what? You've already lost. But if you could muster up the strength to say, God is greater in me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you have a chance. If we need to realize that these dreams are not our dreams, they're his dreams. And like I was saying during the offering, it's not your reputation then that's on the line. It's his. It's his faithfulness that's on the line. If he said, go do it, it's not your reputation. It's his. Somebody just needs to dream a little this morning and dream in the Holy Ghost and dream a God dream. For a dream, you must completely sell out. There is approximately 160 college schools that are Division I. Out of those 160 Division I schools out there for basketball, they can only give 5 full scholarships. So think about all the high school seniors that are out there this year that are playing basketball. Only 5 scholarships in each one of these 160 Division I basketball programs. And they're all dreaming for that. 800 high school seniors will enter college playing basketball after this year. Of that 800 who enter, only about 60% will graduate. Out of that 480 who graduate, there's only going to be no more than 20 of them who will get drafted into the NBA. Of that 20, only about 12 will make a roster. No more than 4 will play more than 5 years in the NBA. 1 out of that draft class, or 2, I should say, will be an all-star. 1 may be a Hall of Famer. Dream achievers say no matter what. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, 5 through 10, he says this, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distress, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labor, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as the dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. What Paul was saying there is, I'm sold out. I'm completely sold out. He later would say this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There is a revival dream that was planted here years ago, and I believe it's coming to fruition. There is a harvest that is upon us, and there is a dream of miraculous and the power of God that is about to be fulfilled. I believe this church is sitting on its greatest day. We are knocking on our greatest day. I believe this church, I dream for this church to be a church of influence. We have an unbelievable location. Most people wouldn't think this would be that great of a location. But here's the thing. We get to influence multiple towns around us. How many of you do not live in the city of Alliance? Okay. How many of you do live in the city of Alliance? How many of you drive more than 15 minutes to get here? Tell me that this church can't be a church of influence. We have people driving 45 minutes and an hour to get here. You know how many churches they pass? I don't want to count. Because I'd really show my smarts in if I would do that. Over here driving with my bare feet so I could count them all. We're a church of influence. I don't believe that God just called this place for people to show up on Sunday morning, do their kumbayas, hear a nice little word, and go home. I believe he's called each and every one of us here to be a people and a church and a body of influence to our communities. Brett and I were talking a while back, and I said, here's what bugs me in the church today is, I don't want us to grow too much because I like knowing everybody. I like knowing everybody. And here's the thing is, I don't want to pastor a mega church either. I'm really going to be embarrassed all the time because I ain't going to remember anybody's name then. Okay? But I want to see your family saved. And because your family is getting saved, this place is going to grow. And because your family's getting saved, your friends are getting saved. And because they're getting saved, we're changing our city. We're changing our communities around step by step, little bit by little bit. We're changing their minds. We're changing their attitudes and what they think they can achieve. God didn't call anybody to be broke, busted, and disgusted. I mean, here's Job who has lost everything. If there is anybody out there who would have a reason to be upset with God, it's Job. Dude has buried all his kids. He has lost all his money. He has lost his home. He has lost his friends. And his wife looks at him and says, just curse God and die. But I love what he says. But he knows the way that I take. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you would just step out in faith, he knows the way that you take. He's done ordered your steps. He's done called you for a purpose. He's already got the plan all laid out for you. It's not your reputation on the line. It's his. It's not your faith on the line. It's his faithfulness that's on the line. When you've done everything that he has asked you to do, all you have to do is just step and believe. That's it. Step and believe. But I don't see the next step. Just take the one that you see. But I don't know what the end result's going to be. Just step and believe. But all my friends are saying this is a stupid thing to do. Just if God said do it, you better do it. Because let me tell you something. God's plan has never made sense to me. And I've told him that. I got a better way to do things. Do things my way, God. I could see it this way. He's never once ever done that for me. And when he's had, I fell flat on my face. I still sometimes think, though, that I know what I'm doing. I have my moments. Then my wife quickly reminds me that I don't. But I'm here to tell you this morning, believe. Believe for the dream. Believe that your husband can be saved. Believe that your son and your daughter can be saved. Believe that your neighbor can be saved. Believe that that boss can be saved. Believe that God can increase your finances. Believe that you can be healed. Quit saying, well, that must be for somebody else. Because whenever you have that stinking thinking, it is. My dad one time preached a message and said the church has a butt problem. We do. God says to do something, but God. I'm going to close with this. It was, you know, whenever I go and say 20 years, I feel old. So let's not say that. A few years ago, there was a lady in the church who was, that attended our church. Her mother attended another church. Okay? And her mom had come to our church a few times, but she wasn't somebody who was regular. She had her own church. And the daughter called and wanted to know if my dad or I, one of us, would come out and just have prayer with her mom. She was knocking on death's door, you know. Just go out and have prayer with her. And we're like, yeah, sure, no problem. So we had went out, and her pastor ended up being there. So we were getting ready to leave, and the pastor's like, well, before you guys leave, let's go ahead and have prayer with her. And we're like, okay, so we're just standing there, and we all kind of grabbed hands, and we're praying. And let me tell you, pastors, not all of them got it right either. This is what he said. Lord, if it be your will to heal my sister. I wanted to slap him. Lord, if it be your will, let me tell you something. It is his will for you to be healed. God didn't call you to be sick. He didn't call you to be broke. He didn't call you to live in misery. He said, behold, I have called you for a purpose, a plan. Let me tell you something. God's got great things in store for you if we would just step out in faith. Stand with me.